南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to these podcasts, downloading them, supporting, liking, subscribing. Let's get the word out that we don't need to be despondent and afraid every single day and live in anxiety and fear and stress. We really don't. It's impossible to not to know about these mass shootings all over the world. And meanwhile, I mean, those are horrible events. Yemen, the whole population of Yemen is dying, starving to death because of war, violence. Yeah. The realm of hell, hunger, and animality is ever present in our world today. Listen, when I was a teenager, early 20s, omnipresent in our minds was Star Wars, not the movie, Reagan, and threats back and forth between Russia and America, nuclear holocaust, or we can blow your side of the planet off. It's so juvenile, irresponsible, unthinkable. And look, it's stupid. And these are the leaders of the world. And now we've had pandemics, which are still going on, new ones starting up. And I think of Nichiren. And I think of the very simple thing that Nichiren keeps saying. If we just could work toward our highest potential to enjoy life at its most profound realization, wouldn't that be enough to influence even the dumbest dumb to behave better? To see the magnificence of this blue sky and the green and the air that we breathe. Ball of confusion, that's what the world is today. Hey, hey. We need to do our part, and it starts with our own minds. As long as we stay focused on clearing our own minds, attaining our Buddha experience, we will affect the world around us. Like pebbles in a lake, we'll radiate out into the world 50 rings deep, right? This is a story in the Expedient Means, in the Sutra. Someone's influenced by you. They are influencing someone else. That person's influencing all the way down to the 50th person. If they see the intense beauty and reward of this mindset of Buddha, then they will attain Buddha just as quickly as you and I. We've got to radiate this out. I'm tired. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living in fear. Because I'm 65 now. It's not about fear of my little world, like a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 16-year-old thinking, if people call me names, my whole world is over. That world, that perception of worlds and realms is very deeply personal and shallow. As we grow older, we understand that our world is actually much, much larger. And as it gets larger, not only does our influence push into it, but its influence is even more massive in our lives. All the more reason we need the strength of conviction that all of that can just fall away like dust. If we perceive Buddha, which is the entire universe, you can't get bigger than that. That is big, the big. Yeah. That's where the Buddha mind resides, on that scale. Right? The Dharma and the teacher in the latter age of degeneration, Buddhism in the age of the true Dharma. That's us. Buddhism, after the passing of the, after the extinction of Shakyamuni Buddha, it's like I want to rewrite all these books because it's so confusing. The passing of the Buddha didn't die. The Buddha never dies. The Buddha is the mind condition that allows us to experience the entire universe. Buddha is life. The extinction of Shakyamuni Buddha, oh, that's a person. Extinct, yes. But that Buddha wasn't his. It's all of us. All of life. After the extinction of Shakyamuni Buddha is divided, Buddhism after his passing is divided into three periods. Really five periods, but let's see where he goes with this. During the first 500 years of the thousand-year age of the true Dharma, he's already combined those two into one, Kashyapa, Ananda, Sanavasa, Madhyatika, Prasva, and others cured ailments of the people solely by the medicine of the Hinayana teaching. Now, translation being what it is, it's not like these monks went around and put their hands on people and say, now your arm is the same length as the other. Now your cancer is gone. Now you're no longer deaf, or now the blind can see. We're not talking about miracles and all of that stuff. When Buddhism talks about sickness, it's talking about the mind. Always Buddhism is about the mind. And being stressed out, anxious, afraid, that's a sickness. And that sickness is created in the mind. And so by cleaning that mind, cleaning it in the aspect of perception, then experience becomes elevated, becomes constructed positively, life-affirmingly, so that all of those things that bubble up those fears and anxieties cease to affect our mind state, and therefore our body, mind-body connection, yeah? But the sickness that is healed is the thinking, the mind, right? They propagated the Hinayana scriptures, such as the Four Agama Sutras, rules for monks and nuns, such as the 10 divisions of monastic rules, and 80 divisions of monastic rules, and commentaries such as the Sutra of the Succession to Liberation. See, there it is. That's the medicine. Liberation from mental processes that are diseasing. Do you see? Which later were called the Ritsu, the Kusha, and the Jiu-Jitsu schools. During the latter 500 years of the thousand-year period of the age of the true Dharma, such great commentators as Bodhisattva Ashvaghosha, Nagarjuna, Aryadeva, Asanga, and Vasubandhu at first studied the Hinayana Sutras, spread by various sages, but later they refuted them and propagated various Mahayana Sutras, because it was obvious those Hinayana Sutras, though they suited the capacity of the people for 500 years, were completely inadequate for the latter 500 years, the 500 years after that 500-year period. They were ineffectual. They would not lead to a healthy mind. Because people had progressed. Their capacity to understand had grown, and therefore their capacity to attach themselves and stay mired in their dis-ease was much stronger. So we needed a more profound medicine, a way of thinking with the mind that could counter that evolution of attachments, misery, so on and so forth. They cured the not-so-serious patients with mediocre medicine. In other words, they were monks of such schools as the Three Discourses, the Dharma Characteristics, the True Word, Zen, and others today, preaching such sutras as the Flower Garland, Wisdom, Great Sun Buddha, and Profound Secrets Sutras. So he jumped from that early period, that first period, to show how they are still represented today by these schools and these teachers. They are mediocre because they don't suit the times, right? It's like you going to the doctor because you're constantly sick and they diagnose you and they need to do bloodletting and open up your veins and bleed you out to get rid of the bad and so that you can heal and maybe put somebody else's blood into you so you can be better. And you know what? That might work for some, but certainly not all. It's a mediocre medicine. It doesn't suit the times. We have different bacteria, different viruses, right? This is the history of this life on this planet. Our antibodies, our immune systems have had to evolve and grow in order to combat deeper and more profound attacks from our environment. Again, per Nichiren, that's a mirror, isn't it? So, question. Why did such Hinayana sages as Kashyapa and Ananda not propagate the Mahayana Sutras? You know the answer, right? Answer. First of all, they were incapable of preaching the Mahayana Sutras because that wasn't the evolution of mind at that time. That wasn't the capacity, not only in the general public, but in the teachers as well. The human experience was not detailed to that level that you could understand how to teach it. Because in order to teach something, there's that problematic word again, one has to first experience. Right? Do you remember the day when it first occurred to you, probably in high school or maybe even later, that your teachers were human beings with lives outside the school, that some of them liked fast cars and some of them liked just sitting at home curling up with a book and a dog at their feet? When you're a student in junior high school, you just don't see your teachers as, oh yeah, They have this whole other life. It's a part of our evolution of mind, yeah? The depth of our understanding of worlds, not only in our own minds, but other worlds around us. And that's a function of our own personal worldview. How do we view from our own experience, right? So, in the second place, there were no people with the capacity to understand and take confidence in the Mahayana teachings. In the third place, they were not requested by the Buddha to do so by Shakyamuni, or by their enlightenment to do so. In the fourth place, the time had not come to propagate the Mahayana Sutras, plain and simple. It just wasn't the time. Question. So now we go to the second 500-year period. Why did Nagarjuna, Vasubandhu, and others not spread the One Vehicle Lotus Sutra? Certainly they knew about it. Answer. Due to the same four reasons I just stated. It's a different time, but it's still not this time. This is why in that time period they moved away from Hinayana into Mahayana, but they weren't preaching the Lotus Sutra yet, because that is the ultimate teaching and people weren't ready for it, nor did they have the capacity to teach it. Because if you're teaching to minds that can't comprehend, would you teach a four-year-old nuclear fission? You could try. How many four-year-olds do you think would get it and write a paper describing what you taught them? Same thing. Question. Now, this is a long question. According to Shingon priests, those guys, Bodhisattva Nagarjuna, who appeared in India 800 years after the extinction of Shakyamuni Buddha, received the exoteric sutras of Shakyamuni Buddha, such as the Flower Garland and the Lotus Sutras, from Bodhisattva Ashvaghosha. Bodhisattva Nagarjuna opened the Iron Tower in southern India and met the great Sun Buddha and Vajrasattva in person, directly receiving an oral transmission of the esoteric teaching of the great Sun Buddha from them. They say that Bodhisattva Nagarjuna had two disciples, Bodhisattva Aryadeva, whom the exoteric teaching of Buddha was transmitted to, and Nagabodhi, who inherited the esoteric teaching of the great Sun Buddha. It is said that while Nagabodhi retired into a mango grove in southern India without transferring the esoteric teaching to anyone, the exoteric teaching transmitted to Aryadeva spread first to China, and several years later, the esoteric Buddhism inherited by Nagabodhi was transmitted to China by Subhakarachima, remember that guy, Vajrabodhi, remember him too, and Amoghavajra. What do you think of that? Answer. Shingon priests all claim this, while men of other schools, such as the Tendai and Kigon sects, all believe it. Are they saying that the three Shingon sutras, such as the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, did not exist in India before the time of Nagarjuna? Or are they saying that the Buddha called the Great Sun Buddha beside Shakyamuni Buddha appeared in this world to preach those triple sutras? In which sutra is it stated that the exoteric teaching was inherited by Aryadeva and esotericism by Nagabodhi? Right? Think about that for a moment, really, in reference to our practice. Are you saying that this particular sutra didn't exist before Tendai or before Nichiren or before you and I? All of these sutras are transmissions of Shakyamuni. So they existed 3,000 years ago. They just didn't spread and get articulated by people who couldn't understand them. Until later, when people were coming up in Buddhism, saying, well, what about this sutra? It doesn't just mean what I've read before. It extends deeper meaning, more profundity. It's not because they didn't exist. It's because nobody was there to really understand them. It's the capacity of the people and the time, over and over and over again. Yeah? In which sutra is it stated, right? This is a great lie, more sinful, more grievous an error than the deceptions and falsehoods of Devadatta and Kokalika. This is the foundation of Shingon, folks. They've been creating and manipulating people, other Buddhists, by fanciful teachings, interpretations of teachings, as though they are the founders, they are the sole ones who understand the meaning of Shakyamuni's teachings, by usurping them for themselves. Is this not the reason why the ruling dynasties in China and in Japan are coming to an end, and Buddhist monks in both countries have become slanderers of the true Dharma? Is this not what's happening today in Japan and China and America and Australia and the UK and all over the world because of these would-be authorities teaching in vain for their own gain? Isn't this why? Could you not draw a straight line between that and the incredible greed and manipulations and stupidity in our world today? Isn't Nietzsche nailing that to the wall so we can all see it? As a result, China has already been destroyed by northern barbarians, while Japan is about to be invaded by western barbarians. Let me put this aside for now. He's getting worked up, yeah. Buddhism in the age of the semblance Dharma. Let's move on now to this third 500-year period, or 1,000-year period, but the first 500, I'm sure, is what it's going to focus on. During the 1,000 years of the age of semblance Dharma, Buddhism reached China, but in the first 400-year period, the three southern and seven northern masters established their respective doctrines, competing for supremacy, as if orchid and chrysanthemum flowers were contesting for a beauty queen, and without knowing the difference between right and wrong in the Buddha's dharmas, because they were just doing it for their own gain, right? They were after money and land from the local regents and the governances with the pockets. So if I interpret Buddhism, which is really popular right now, in this special way, then I can get a chunk of the pie. We can talk about the world economics as capitalist, socialist, what have you, totalitarian governance and economies, but you can easily identify a capitalist as every human being that's ever existed. Because it's a very desirous system, isn't it? It's built on desire. Oh, sorry, supply and demand. What the hell do you think that is? If I can make you want something, and then I can provide it, I win. Oh, I'll make you think you're winning because you're getting it. It's just this cycle of avarice. It's nothing new. In the century between the 400th and the 400th and the 500th period year in the age of the semblance dharma, such Buddhist leaders as Grandmaster Nanyue and Tendai, or Chi Yi, appeared in China, propagated the true teaching of the Lotus Sutra in a partial manner. They were just getting into it. Although they were revered as state masters in regard to the doctrine and practice of the perfect teaching of the Lotus Sutra, they did not yet establish the precept dais of the perfect and sudden lotus teaching. They hadn't gotten to that essential part in the second part of the Lotus Sutra where the Buddha manifests instantly Shakyamuni, not the only Buddha, but tapping into this time without beginning, time without end, state of mind, Buddha. They still couldn't grasp that. People today have trouble grasping that. Yeah? Yeah, of course. As a result, they were not revered as the teacher of the precepts by the country as a whole. 100 years later, the Dharma Characteristic Schools was brought from India, and it was patronized by the Emperor Taizong of Tang China, causing a gradual decline in numbers of the devotees of the Tendai Lotus School. Because there was a new fashion in town. The Tendai School, as amazing and advanced, all the seven schools in China, north and south, bowed down to Qi Yi in the Tendai School. Understood that he had a grasp of Buddhism that would equal Shakyamuni's in scholarship. However, not quite. They didn't establish that benchmark, that dais, that ordination platform that it's known by many names, right? It's still attached to the person, Qi Yi, Tendai, when it should have transcended him and been a benchmark of Buddhism. But that didn't happen. And so when a new thing came, oh, it's from India. It must be new. No, it's just that somebody ran into a school that was still teaching that particular sutra. It's not new. It's been there all along. You just didn't know about it. Oh, but I'm going to say it's new because I just came back from India and look what I know. And the emperor goes, ooh, shiny. And that starts to get more popular. Doesn't mean it's better, right? Taking advantage of a chance for revival, the Dharma Characteristic Schools, which had been refuted by Tendai, began claiming itself to be superior to the Tendai school during the reign of Empress Wu. New and improved. How is it not capitalist? But capitalism is the favorite system of economy of totalitarian, authoritarian regimes, isn't it? Let me tell you what you need, because you're too stupid to know for yourself. Let me show you this mouthwash, far superior to any other. What are you doing? It's marketing. During the reign of Emperor Xuanzong, the eighth sovereign after Emperor Daizong, the Shingon True Word School was introduced from India for the first time. We read about this, right? That is to say, Tripitaka Master Subhakarashima in the fourth year of the Kuan Yin era, 716, common era, transmitted the great Sun Buddha Sutra and the Sutra on the Act of Perfection, while Tripitaka Master Vajra Bodhi and Amogeshvara Vajra brought the Diamond Peak Sutra 4 years later. Having brought the triple Shingon Sutras, the three masters were then motivated to write commentaries on the Shingon canons after learning about the commentaries by Tendai. Oh, we can do what he did. We can relegate him to history. He's been dead almost 200 years. Let's take over. They insisted in their writings that the Great Sun Buddha Sutra and the Lotus Sutra preach the same principle, but that the former is superior because it also preaches the esoteric teachings of finger signs, mudras, and mantras, magic words, spells. In the final analysis, they disdained the true teaching preached in the Lotus Sutra with the provisional teachings of Shingon Sutras. No Chinese scholar knew about this. It's like, really? But it's a time and place, right? Toward the end of the age of the Semblance Dharma, in its 9th century, Grandmaster Dengyo was born in Japan. He not only refuted the false teachings of the 6 schools of Buddhism in Nara, such as the Flower Garland School, but also established on Mount Hiei the precept dais of the perfect and sudden teaching of the Lotus Sutra, which even Nanyue and Tendai were unable to spread, making all the scholars of Buddhism in Japan, without exception, disciples of Grandmaster Dengyo. He straightened the mess out, right? And he established the platform. So now it wasn't about Dengyo. It was about Buddhism and the correct practice of Buddhism. Regarding the comparative superiority between Tendai and Shingon schools, however, Grandmaster Dengyo was aware of the falsification on the part of the Shingon school, but he did not clarify matters. Was it because it was beneath him? Was it because he didn't understand that people needed to be made aware of the great betrayal of the Shingon school? The outright lies? The stop the steal lie? Do we not live with these kind of ridiculous movements today? It was beneath him. He didn't want to talk about it. I understand how he may have felt that way, being the scholar that he was. But he did a disservice to Japan by not pointing it out. It's ugly, right? It's ugly to point out somebody's errors. Best they just come along and perform better, and then everybody's happy. But if people don't know what actually happened, they can be easily manipulated again. It's a tough truth of samsaric mindset, yeah? In a word, he probably yielded the right to examine the issue closely and publish a rejoinder to people living in the latter age of degeneration. I'm here stopping further discussion on the matter because it will result in a digression from my present argument. Okay, Nichiren doesn't want to dive into it either because it's a whole nother rat's nest of politic, right? And that's not the point he's wanting to make right now. He's talking about the periods of teaching. That's his point right now. So he closes with this paragraph on this particular chapter, not the chapter, but anyway, this section. My teacher, Grandmaster Dengyo, established on Mount Hiei the great precept dais of the perfect and sudden teaching, which had never been propagated in the 3 countries of India, China, or Japan. Because it was the right time for it. People were ready to understand at this level. It was nothing but Grandmaster Dengyo's earnest attempt to cure the serious sickness of the people by applying the most precious medicine. Buddhism is about the mind, the sickness of the mind. He was trying to heal a nation so that they could understand the true nature of life. Life in, personally, life in community, life in Japan, life in the world, life in the universe. How could anything sully that? Buddhism in the latter age of degeneration. Now we come to our time. It has been 220 years or so since we entered the latter age of degeneration, when defilement and corruption are intense. The three calamities, war, epidemic, and famine, occur ceaselessly. Oh yeah. Evil deeds and evil views fill the country, and perpetrators of rebellious errors and slanderers of the true Dharma are everywhere. They're everywhere. Only Ichantika, those without the roots of Buddhahood, without the roots of life-affirming behavior, are respected and depended on as the pillars of the country, and slanderers of the true Dharma are revered as the state masters. Right? The world is in love with liars and manipulators. How is that possible? We're living it. We're living it. You tell me. How is it possible? And yet, it's everywhere. From McDonald's to China, to the United States government, cabinet, Department of Defense. To Sri Lanka, through Yemen, South Africa. There's no spot on the planet that isn't affected by this. Children strike parents on the head with the classics of filial piety of Confucius, and Buddhists rebel against Lord Buddha Shakyamuni while reciting his Lotus Sutra. It's like nobody has a depth of understanding of anything anymore. They're just all reactionary. No matter what it looks like they're doing, you can't tell what their true intent is. This is a disease of the mind. Attitudes and intents are completely just ravaged. The unfilial country referred to is this country of Japan. That's the topic of his conversation. The village of Shengmu, superior to mother, which is said to have been avoided by a sage in ancient China, is found in no other place than in Japan. Therefore, the blue heaven glares at the country, and the great earth shakes in rage. So he may be Nichiren talking about Japan because that's his situation. But it's no different for you and I. Our country is our Japan. If you're listening to this from the UK, your country is Japan, or Nichiren's. Nichiren's talking about what's intimate to your perceptions, your lifestyle, your realms. Yeah. Australia, Taiwan, wherever you are in the world, in the context of Nichiren's writings, is Japan. He's telling you right here, this is the same as the city in China, but I'm in Japan, so I'm labeling it Japan, but it's this earthly, samsaric existence. Calamities such as the great earthquake of the first year of the Shoka and the huge comet of the first of the year of Bunei are the severest we've ever had in 2,220 years or so since the extinction of Shakyamuni Buddha in India, China, and Japan. There are hundreds, thousands of times more serious than the disasters of King Pushyamitra, burning Buddhist temples and towers all over India, and that of Emperor Wu Ti of the Tang China, secularizing monks and nuns throughout the empire. There are the calamities caused by the major slanderers of the true Dharma filling the land of Japan and overflowing the empire. It is preached in the Sutra of the Great Nirvana that there will be an unfilial children and slanderers of the true Dharma as numerous as the dust particles of a great earth in the latter age of degeneration. And in the Sutra on the Decline of the Dharma, it is written that there will be monks and nuns who are like dogs as numerous as the sands of the Ganges River when the Dharma is about to disappear. Observing Japan today, we see everybody committing these two sins of a lack of filial piety and slandering the true Dharma. Is there a secret or special way to save these serious wrongdoers? The one great secret Dharma for the latter age. With the Buddha eye, the world-honored and enlightened one foresaw the circumstances in the latter age of degeneration and left the one great secret Dharma in the world to save the offenders of these two grave errors. Regarding the ceremony for providing this great Dharma for the people in the latter age of degeneration, Shakyamuni Buddha, who had attained a Buddhahood, the Buddhahood that is the engine of life in the universe, in the eternal past, as revealed in the essential section of the Lotus Sutra and the Buddha of many treasures from the treasure purity world, sat together side by side in the great treasured stupa, measuring 500 yohana high and 250 yohana square in area, as if they were the sun and the moon. Buddhas in manifestation came from all the worlds in the universe, and as sat on the lion-shaped seats arranged in a line 5 yohana long under the treasured tree 500 yohana high, as if they were stars in the sky. In other words, the whole universe is attending to this one teaching. The scene of the 4,000,000, 100,000,000 Nayuta worlds filled with Shakyamuni Buddha, the Buddha of many treasures, the Buddhas and manifestations on two occasions, on Mount Sacred Eagle and up in the sky above it, were more impressive than any of the Lotus Repository world appearing in the Flower Garland Sutra was preached at the place where Shakyamuni Buddha attained enlightenment, and more so than the 1,200 venerables arranged in the Diamond Realm and Matrix Door Realm mandalas of Shingon Buddhism. Lord Shakyamuni Buddha, the eye of all the worlds, the process of life itself, preached in these great assemblies regarding the 6 difficulties and 9 easier actions, exerted the great bodhisattvas to spread the Lotus Sutra. Who are the great bodhisattvas? Those emerging from the earth, future bodhisattvas, you and I. Thereupon, bodhisattvas such as Manjushri of the Golden World, Maitreya in the Palace of the Tuchita Heaven, accumulated wisdom of the treasure purity world, Alokitsvara of the Mount Potalaka, major disciples of the Buddha such as Mahakashyapa, known as the foremost in ascetic practices, and Shariputra, well known for his intelligence, numerous kings of Brahma Heaven who control all the worlds throughout the universe, innumerable Indras residing atop Mount Sumeru, a great number of suns and moons shining over the entire universe was paying attention, okay? And many others. Competed in pleading with Shakyamuni Buddha to be entrusted with the task of transmitting the Lotus Sutra. The whole universe was pleading with Shakyamuni Buddha, let's get this rolling, let's do this. The Buddha nevertheless entrusted the teaching to none of them, because even these great mystical ideas and forces of the potential of the minds of the time, Shakyamuni knew that it would take a special kind of resolve, a special kind of confidence, a special kind of clarity that didn't yet exist in mankind, that it would have to happen in the future. What future? The future emerging from this planet itself. You and me. Then the Buddha called out four great bodhisattvas from under the great earth who had never been seen before. Bodhisattva superior practice, which Nichiren identifies with, right? Limitless practice, pure practice, and steadily established practice. Followers as many as 60,000 times the sand of the Ganges accompanied each of them, and their gracefulness and dignity, and a word I've been talking about, were beyond expression and imagination. When the Buddha attained Buddhahood for the first time, he preached a flower garland sutra. Four bodhisattvas of Dharma, Wisdom, Merit, Forest, Diamond Banner, and Diamond Repository, each accompanied by followers as many as 10 times the number of the sand in the Ganges River, adorned the Buddha's assembly. When the Sutra of the Great Assembly was preached at the Daihobo, between the realm of desire and the realm of formations, great bodhisattvas from all over the worlds and the universe came to attend the assembly. Compared to the four great bodhisattvas who emerged from under the ground, these bodhisattvas, as well as the four great bodhisattvas sitting on the eight-petal lotus in the matrix store realm mandala of the great sun Buddha, and the 16 great bodhisattvas of the 37 venerables in the diamond realm sutra, or mandala, of the diamond peak sutra, they were mere monkeys in front of Indra or Mount Hua in China against Mount Sumeru in the center of the world. So, referring to these previous sutras that have at times usurped the teachings of the lotus, the very description of their power, their influence, their mind is paltry compared to the description in the Lotus Sutra of the minds and potential of the future bodhisattvas from under the earth. Not 10 times, not 12 times, 600 times. 60,000 times. Sorry, 600. 60,000 times. Hyperbole, anyone? But it makes the point, right? Then Bodhisattva Maitreya, representing the doubt of the masses, said to the Buddha, quote, I do not know even one of those numerous bodhisattvas who have emerged from the great earth. Of course not. They're in the future. Grandmaster Tendai interprets this in his words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra. Quote, beginning with the preaching of the Flower Garland Sutra at the place of enlightenment until this assembly for the Lotus Sutra, great bodhisattvas have never ceased to come in multitudes. Although they were unlimited in number, I, Maitreya, with my wisdom as successor to the Buddha, saw and remember them all. Nevertheless, I do not remember seeing any one of these bodhisattvas, end quote. Grandmaster Miao Lo explains this in his annotations on the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra. The reason why no one knew them upon seeing the great bodhisattvas emerge from the great earth is, so on and so forth, because only wise men can foretell what will happen, and only snakes know the way of snakes. In other words, no one can tell the future, but here Shakyamuni is. In this teaching, he is making a huge prediction. Tendai also states in his words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra, quote, looking at the pouring rain, we know how great is the dragon causing it. And looking at an abundance of lotus flowers, we know the depth of the pond that causes them to blossom, end quote. This suggests how great the power of the bodhisattvas who emerged from the earth or underground was by looking at their impressive appearances. This has never been happening before in history or anything we can witness now. This is a foretelling of all of these forces merging for the Lotus Sutra, the self-practice, to enable all to attain this enlightenment, this appearance of perception in order to experience Buddha in everything that's capacity. For instance, if we compare the four generals of Han Ko Tu, Chang Liang, Fan Kuai, Cheng Ping, and Chao Pei to the four wise men of Shan, Qi Li Qi, teacher Chui Li, and Wan Kung, and Xia Huang Kung, there exists a world of difference. Speaking of the appearance of the four wise men, their heads are as white as snow, their foreheads are wrinkled like waves in the four seas, their eyebrows look like half moons, and their wrists are bent like a bow. As they waited on right and left of the Emperor Hui, successor to Han Gaozu, assisting him to govern the country, peace prevailed throughout the land, just like the time of Yao, Shun, and Sheng Nung in ancient China. These four great bodhisattvas were like the four wise men of Shangsha, appearing in the lotus assemblies. They glorified Shakyamuni Buddha, the Buddha of many treasures, the Buddhas in manifestation. They knocked down the proud banners of slanderers of the true Dharma, just as the gale winds blow away twigs. Attendees of the assemblies showed respect to them as if heavenly beings obeyed Indra. Devadatta, who had struck Shakyamuni on the head, pressed his palms together and expressed heartfelt respect to them. And Kokalika, who had lied to present himself as innocent and slandered by Shariputra, prostrated to repent his past errors. Great bodhisattvas like Manjushri were ashamed of themselves and speechless, while Hinayana sages like Shariputra silently bowed. Then the enlightened world honored one, Shakyamuni Buddha, expounded the lifespan chapter of the Buddha. So you guys are all finally getting the order of things and paying reverence to the dignity of Buddhahood. And now I'm going to tell you, it ain't me. This Buddhahood has always existed. And the denial that you guys have expressed toward me is really a denial toward your own Buddhahood. Ha ha. You always had this power that you're now revering. So what have you been doing prior? You've been slandering the true Dharma. Hello? And so when Shakyamuni identified Buddhahood as something not his, but something he'd attained, he transferred that knowledge to the four bodhisattvas of the earth, that they would, when the world had the capacity to get it, spread this broadly. That's you and me. He entrusted the four great bodhisattvas with the task of transmitting it after displaying the 10 kinds of divine powers, the divine powers of the Buddha chapter. What was the Dharma that was entrusted to them? Reducing the whole world, or the whole of the Lotus Sutra, reproduce its condensed form. By reducing this condensed form further, we get the essence of the Lotus Sutra. The five Chinese characters of Myoho, Renge, and Kyo, in which the five profound meanings of the Lotus Sutra, its name, entity, quality, function, and teaching, are all contained. For instance, this is like Chao Pao Huan, who selected the horse not by the color of its hair, but by the speed of its running, and Shi Taolin, who concentrated on grasping the gist of Buddhist teachings while discarding the particulars in lecturing on the sutras. Right? Don't get hung up on all the little form and circumstance. And now he's going to talk about the four great bodhisattvas of the latter age of degeneration. This is exciting stuff. This is very contemporary teaching for us. And I'm going to continue this in the next video because I've already gone on quite a while here. So, what Shakyamuni Buddha transferred to the four bodhisattvas, the leaders of our generation, Nichiren identifying as one of those. Is that we have to dedicate our minds to this enlightenment, this dignity, this way of being. Myoho Renge Kyo. But how do we do that? How do we dedicate ourselves to this function, this often termed law? Think of it mathematically. It's a function of life. How do we dedicate ourselves to, immerse ourselves in, and become transmitters of this law, this function? We have to dedicate ourselves to it. We have to dedicate ourselves to it and manifest it so that we know it, be it. That is Namu. I, in my consciousness, now manifest, embrace, become, invoke this function that is the core of all life. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. We'll get into that further. For now, please take a moment to like and subscribe. Don't forget, there's a lot of resources available to you for free. You can go to threefoldlotus.com. Go to the core study materials page, wander around through the site if you like. You can download documents, find links. You can go to the bookstore and find various books on different aspects of the Dharma, the teaching of the Dharma. You can, if you don't have a mandala yet, go get a mandala that is a digital representation of an actually scribed by Nichiren mandala, with nobody else intruding with their sect and their name and their wonderfulness. We're practicing Nichiren's doctrine of the Lotus Sutra. So get a Nichiren mandala. They're cheap. They're available. CafePress.com/Gohanzon. Get one. Even have a traveling Gohanzon or mandala now on online there. And I have a video on how to package that, how to use it. Just search this channel. And of course, the audio podcasts, if they're helpful. Those of you who are patrons, who have been patrons, who continue to be patrons, those of you who make contributions to keep this channel going, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. So grateful. In the meantime, please take care of your health. Be kind to yourself. Keep your practice strong, and I will see you in the next one, okay? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Bye for now.